something weird's going on here. Plugging in to do the ooze this evening, and I see that somehow we ended up with the show being scheduled an hour earlier than it should have been, which is probably my fault. So let me see if I can figure out what happened. Bear with me just a moment here. So I'm right now trying to get this set up to run the show for the next hour. Make that happen. You guys get to be on the air with me for it looks like a couple of minutes while I go ahead and get all that taken care of. Tonight, and this might explain why I'm not seeing anybody in the chat room and why Justin hasn't called in or beeped in at me or whatever. We're going to be talking about, if Justin calls in, Rotten Biohazard calls in, we're going to be talking about globalism, nationalism, and national pride. If he doesn't call in, I don't know what we're going to be talking about tonight because it'll just be me by myself. So we got about 3 minutes left till the show is actually supposed to air. And I am quickly trying to get this thing set up here. So let's see. I'm working on it right now. This might just be me talking to myself for an hour, which is fine. Done it before. I'll do it again. All right. And I think what happened here is when I scheduled the show originally, I scheduled it for what I thought was Eastern time. And it appears that, no, in fact, I scheduled it for, I don't know what time I scheduled it for, how this happened or whatever. So let me see if it'll let me set the show up. See. Tight. Okay. Yep, somehow I clicked on 8 p.m., so I'll just let it roll. Let me see if that changed everything in the studio. Okay, your welcome scale show called Views. Okay. So, see if this show ends and if the other one just rolls right into it or what happens here. You know what, maybe I should do this. Delete this one. I'm going to be mumbling to myself. I scramble to get this taken care of. According to the Blog Talk Radio lady, I've only got 60 seconds to extend this out. It is moving slowly. I'm going to make this 120. Update. And here's taking the time. All right, we got another hour. Another hour for the ooze, so everything is right with the world. So I'm waiting for the clock to count down. As soon as we hit the top of the hour, I will go ahead and rerun the intro music, and we'll be doing the ooze. So we'll see what happens here. It's counting down, 4, 3, 2... right, it's Tuesday night, and you are listening to the Ooze Luminous Edition with your host, Jason Sorrell, and we had a little technical snafu. Apparently, when I was going through and doing the schedule for upcoming shows, I scheduled the show for 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The show airs at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time normally. So for those people that tuned in and maybe will be listening to the archive, you might have almost an hour worth of dead air before about 5 till 6 till I go to actually call in. And then you hear me mumbling and fumbling around with getting the episode addressed and adjusted. So I'm here doing the hour, and because I screwed up, I'm sure that Rotten Biohazard, totally unaware of what's going on. He may pop in, he may not pop in. If he doesn't, that's not a big deal. But I really, really don't want to not have an episode on the nights we scheduled the show. I really think it's important that when we do these things, when we do this show or whatever, that if we're going to schedule a show, if it's going to be a weekly thing, you got to show up every week. You got to do it every week. And I understand the shit happens. I understand that, things happen and everything else. And I guess me, I take it a little bit more seriously because, you know, it's my dime. Same with TC. You know, it's his dime. So he takes it a little more seriously about, you know, being here for the scheduled show. And this isn't anybody's fault but my own. So I'm not talking shit about anybody. I'm just telling you my own feelings is that, you know, if I got a show, because I could have said, fuck it, it's already too late, and I've already blown it and whatever. But instead, we're going to do the hour, and we're going to see if Rotten Biohazard does call in. If not, well, then I'm just going to chat at you for about an hour and tell you what's on my brain. Tonight, the show is supposed to be about globalism, nationalism, and national pride. And this is something that Rotten Biohazard actually wanted to discuss. So since he's not around to discuss it, well, I didn't think it'd be a good idea to, maybe do that topic. So we'll have to push it back for another week. And, we did this before. Last week we had some things to talk about, and I went off on some stuff. So, that's the way it went down. And we ended up moving everything back a week, and that's the way it works here on the Ooze. These kinds of things happen. So this is kind of, the Ooze is supposed to be – I mean, we go for kind of an open format. As I was discussing with somebody online, the genre thing, we try, I guess, in a way, in a really kind of, kind of a soft way to have some sort of a theme for every show. Like Luminous was originally just whatever was on my mind. I watch a lot of news. I do a lot of reading. I'm checking out things on the internet. All kinds of different topics catch my attention. So I come on to Luminous and share those ideas or share those things and my thoughts on those things with whoever's listening on the nights that they do listen, which tonight sounds like it's all going to be archived, and then we might have to do this episode anyways because, who wants to listen to an hour of dead air before they get to the actual show? So, but for those who are going to be tuning into the chat room, remember that, 9 o'clock is the time we actually do this, and they decide to go ahead and check in, well then, here I am. So, that's what Luminous is supposed to be anyways. It's pretty much just what's ever on my mind. For a little while, I did a show on Blog Talk Radio for right when they were changing from the free accounts being 1 hour to making that a premium account and reducing the free accounts to, half an hour. And I did the half an hour thing for a little bit where I just, came on and talked for about half an hour about whatever. Again, whatever caught my attention and things like that. Luminous kind of rolled that way. TC finally got me on board to do the co-hosting with Outbreak, and I wanted to do, I wanted to go back. Outbreak was kind of themed, we had different little things we'd want to talk about, and Outbreak evolved into what it did, and I might talk about that a little bit tonight, because people love to hear about the news. So anyways, the Luminous, well, with Outbreak, let me go to that. Did the Sorrell show for a little while. And then I split up and everything, and not very good. Me by myself talking about whatever. So don't expect anything, great and grand or glorious this evening from tonight's show. But me talking about to myself about half an hour about whatever I saw on the news, whatever I had going on in my brain. And then we had PC had a shake up with the Ooze, with his co-host, and this is not the first time this kind of thing's happened. I mean, it happens. I mean, this is, it's the internet, folks, and that's the way it works, I guess. Shit happens. So TC needed another co-host, and I was kind of hesitant to do it because at least with the Sproul show, I wasn't necessarily committed. You know, I had the option of not doing it or walking away from it or whatever. If I didn't feel like doing it that night, I didn't do it or whatever. I scheduled an episode as I saw fit. And that's the way it would work. But then, you know, I freed up some time. I really enjoyed what TC was doing with the news. I really enjoyed his original show, Twisted Radio. And I wanted to, you know, he was trying to do something more serious with news, and I thought it'd be cool to get back to that with Outbreak, to do, you know, something funny, something kind of ridiculous. And, you know, it gives each a chance to kind of take a break. The bullshit, talk about whatever we saw that was going on was funny. We did a lot of shit talking. I freely admit that with the earlier Outbreak episodes where I came back on, there was a lot of talking shit, a lot of goofing around. Everybody, I get emails still about the Pastor Bob and Pastor Bill show every once in a while. So, you know, good times. But we got kind of serious about the direction the world was going in. TC and I both have not political aspirations, but political interests. We're interested in what's going on with politics. We're interested in what's going on with society. Maybe it's because we both have children. I'm not saying that having children automatically qualifies you as having more interest or more invested in society than other people. I'm just saying that, you know, he and I, being the knuckleheads that we are, probably wouldn't have even given it two thoughts had it not been for us looking down at these little people who are relying on us and relying on us making good decisions and making, you know, setting a good example and just going, what do we do, you know, and then taking a look around the greater world and going, what is this, you know, what do we bring these kids into this for, you know, what's going on? So we started, you know, that wasn't our whole emphasis of what we've got going on, but that's a good part of it. That's why we started kicking off into, you know, the take action version of Outbreak. Well, we talked a lot about society. We talked a lot about our ideas about society, where things we think are going, where that direction is going. We wanted a conversation also. We wanted to see people, you know, get engaged, get involved, give us their ideas. We had people calling in and everything. But, you know, after a while, 2 hours of, you know, TC and I basically going over the same scorched earth, you know, weekend after weekend, it just wasn't hitting, I thought. So the show kind of morphed back into – Outbreak kind of morphed back into, you know, the zaniness, which, you know, it's off the wall pretty much every week. We might start going on something. It's just, you know, TC and I, every Sunday, you know, I call in and he calls me and we go, so, man, what's going on? How you been? And everything else. And we talk about what's going on. And inevitably somebody calls in and we take off with it. Let me jump on here real quick. All right, I got Rotten Biohazard on the line. Hang on a second. Rotten Biohazard, is that you?
Yeah, man. Sorry, I kind of lost track of time there.
No big deal. Here's what happened. For those people who jumped into the chat room and for Rotten who's just checking in, the show was scheduled accidentally for 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Nice.
I did not log in until the show was scheduled to end in 5 minutes. So I had to hurry up and, you know, give it another hour. So there's an hour worth of dead air at the front end of this two-hour show that started at 8 o'clock. So I was just reminiscing about views and Luminous
wouldn't
and how we got
be
here.
2 hours of dead? Wait, that's 8 o'clock Eastern time? I mean Central time then?
8 o'clock Eastern time. Or you're right. No, wait. What time is it? Yeah, 8 o'clock Eastern
it,
time. No, it's
10 o'clock, buddy, so it would actually be 2 hours of dead air then, wouldn't
right.
it?
Right. 8 o'clock Central Time is when the show started. So 7 o'clock Eastern Time is when the show started. And then I jumped in right before 9 o'clock and tacked another hour to it. So, yeah, I was just you know, reminiscing about how we got here. I didn't know if maybe I tried to call in and saw that there was a show going and nobody had called in or whatever. But here we are. Okay. So enough about the show and what we did in the past. Everything else. We're talking about globalism, nationalism, and national pride tonight for the three people that are or the two people that have logged in or listening. So I guess I'm gonna let you open it up, man. Globalism, nationalism, national pride. How did you want to approach this? What are your thoughts?
First off, I was thinking this. Start off by talking about the differences between a national society and a global society. One second. Damn cat. Basically, the big differences are, okay, a national system, let's take a look at ours, for instance. if we actually produced our own goods and actually had them all be local and had them be simply transported from, let's say, down south up north, and that was strictly how it was. If we were not a large importer of goods like we are, we would be considered a national society. But in hindsight, we're actually a global society, mostly the fact, yes, we do import pretty much 90% of everything we fucking buy. You can't find much that's actually U.S.-made anymore. We also tend to export a lot of things. Export our ideas, have them made in our country, and import them back in here because it's actually cheaper.
So your focus is more on the economics?
Well, yes.
Okay. I guess, so where do you stand? Because I see globalism and nationalism as being opposing sides of the same coin.
They're pretty much the same coin. They're just on, let's see how to put this. They're basically the same exact thing. They're just being taken from two different sides of the coin, basically. They're not so much opposing as they are strictly. They're pretty much the same thing, just on a different level.
Well, I think they have different priorities. So I agree with that. That nationalism is more focused, obviously, on what's going on with one nation, one sovereign government and unit of society, whereas globalism tends to look at the whole world and how those resources are being exchanged, how those things interact, how the different societies interact. But I think it goes – I mean, the economics definitely is where you see a one-world kind of thing going on. Money can – you don't have to have one currency in the world to have, you know, money exchanged, having different markets. You know, that gold's going to have a certain value, and the whole world pretty much agrees that, you know, gold is worth X, whatever it's worth at the time, whether it's in yen or dollars or whatever it is, it's going to be worth that certain amount. When you have that kind of agreement, when you have a group of governments who agree on that type of unit of exchange, whether it's gold, whether it's oil, whether it's wheat, whatever it is, and you have rules of engagement for, you know, different economic policies, taxation, you have military forces standing to protect those rules of engagement to make sure the exchange goes smoothly, to make sure that something happens if the exchanges don't go smoothly, then you have a one-world government. You have globalism there.
We only have three main markets, basically. We have the U.S., we have the EU, and we have, well, I don't know if we really consider them a large market yet, but the Asians have their own market as well. And those are the top three. A couple of other smaller ones, but they're generally not as looked at or even spoken of, really.
Okay, so I guess what's your position? Is this globalism, this global idea, is it a positive thing? Is it a negative thing? Is it have both, you know, aspects of both, or what do you think?
Personally, I'd say both, because not only, okay, because let's even look at 50 years ago. We didn't have a lot of the things coming across into the U.S. We didn't have a lot of things going in and out as much as we do. We didn't have the ideas of the products coming. We didn't have this whole, basically, freedom of information, man. You didn't give a fuck 50 years ago what happened in Japan. You didn't give a fuck what happened in the Middle East. It didn't exist to us. And now everything is changing so much, so basically so drastically. Minute to minute, everything that's going on in another part of the world is directly affecting us, either our market or us in some small way.
Okay, sure. And when I look at the question of globalism and nationalism and everything else, I kind of look, you know, even beyond the economics. The economics is where it's founded. But the idea that, you know, there's a cultural exchange going on. There's an exchange of ideas going on. And as you said, you know, the internet and everything else, the level of technology we have now makes that exchange of information and ideas that much more faster, and it's that much more pervasive. So we have, in a way, kind of what the Illuminati of the 1776 Illuminati, the Weishaupt or whatever the guy's name was, that he wanted to do away with national borders. He wanted to do away with religions. We kind of have that going on. And in my opinion, the issue for me isn't so much you know, do we go to a globalist society where you do have one government? I mean, that, and it would be more than just, you know, yes, there's really just one government of the world, at least on our end of the world. There are other, like you're saying, there are smaller pools of, you know, governance that don't participate in the global neighborhood, basically. They aren't playing the global game of kickball that everybody else is playing. But the majority of the world, most of the world, is involved, engaged in that kind of game.
Now,
so
you see, man, with
this,
that kind of thing, with the whole idea of one world government, I could see it being done sort of like a more well-improved UN. We would have our elected official be on the council seat for, let's say, you know, 2 to 4 years. You know, we do it with this whole Congress, do it with House of Representatives, get rid of that bullshit. We strictly have one guy, which is kind of a scary idea. One dude taking care of all of us, scary idea, let's be honest. Very scary. But we basically have him be a representative for us. He goes to this, you know, modified council, and things are done that way.
Well, see, that's one of the problems I think that we have here in the United States is that, you know, there's this egoism here in the U.S. Where we're focused on our culture and our way of things and the way that, you know, the way that we think our model we assume is the best. And every other country has the same thing. The folks in the Middle East have the same, you know, same perspective that their model is the one that everybody else should abide to. So it's not just, you know, the Western society or whatever that wants this kind of one world kind of situation. Now, you know, in my mind, again, where I was going with that is that globalism, you know, there's the positives of it would mean that, you know, resources might be better managed, that there'd be a greater level of exchange between people. A lot of the civil unrest that comes from cultural conflict might go away. You might have a better exchange of ideas. You might have more interaction. You might have a greater leveling of, you know, economics, which means, of course, that here in the U.S., where we've done very well for ourselves, it would mean a reduction in lifestyle, whereas other places you'd see an increase in lifestyle. But that might mean that travel becomes easier. So it's more, you know, it's more of a possibility that a person could be truly a citizen of the world, having real freedom to travel and go to come and go as they please. But there is something to say, I guess, for the idea of nationalism, where each and every country is focused on their own priorities first. And it's this kind of half-assed way of doing things that we see in our society now where, you know, on the one hand, we are, you know, focused on our own economy, focused on our own energy issues, focused on our own problems. But then on the other hand, we're also, you know, very deeply involved in what's going on with all these other nations and everything. And you can argue till you're blue in the face if you're a politician that it's in our national interest to be concerned about what's going on in some third world country in Africa or whatever. And to some extent, that may be the case. But it doesn't take priority or precedence over our own homeless issues, our own health issues, our own energy issues. So it seems we kind of got this we're just scattered in too many different directions. And if the focus were either one way, we're working on achieving a global government for the betterment of all people, or the other way, we're working on solidifying our national position for the betterment of our society, that would be great. It's this, you know, kind of wishy-washy way of doing things that it always irks me, you know, no matter what. If it's, you know, it's not enough of one or the other. They go, you know, right down the middle and don't accomplish anything.
And, you know, man, these days we can't even claim that we have a national society here. We can, you know, basically beat our chests and be blue in the face and say we have national pride. Sure, you know, fuck, why not, you know? But to say that we are not globalists at this point in history would be a fallacy, because basically how much of our own goods we actually produce in this country? Very few. If you go into a store, you're going to find a U.S. product. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anything more than maybe 8% of things in stores are actually U.S.-made. Basically, we import a lot of our shit and basically send out very few imports out of this country. I mean, I think one of our biggest imports, well, kind of the funniest thing when it comes to a trademark, is the one thing you can find all over the world is Coca-Cola. You can find that in the middle of fucking nowhere. But basically, man, we are a global society, which is mind-boggling. Think about it. And also the funniest thing about, let's speak between Mexico, the U.S., and Canada. We can't actually trade much with Mexico because basically it would cost Mexicans too much trade with us. They basically take everything they produce for the most part and ship it up to Canada. because it's cheaper to actually work with Canada than it's with us because of the monetary system and also how much the peso is worth here in the U.S., that kind of thing.
Right. Well, do you see it as a bad thing that you can't go into your local marketplace and find something that comes solely from the United States?
You know, I kind of do. I really do. Maybe that's just, I'm still young enough, but I still remember, man, being able to go down to a small little shop, buy something made locally, actually feeling good about it, you know? I mean, yeah, okay, maybe you pay just a little bit more. Sure, granted, you probably paid a little bit more for that. But at the end of the day, man, you actually were supporting someone who was part of your own community. It wasn't some sort of shadow figure in a major conglomerate that you were supporting, you know?
Well, it's only been since really the end of World War II that you were able to get things that were all pretty much American-made. As soon as we started, you know, normalizing relationships with Japan and the East, we began seeing manufacturing opportunities there. And it's funny that you mentioned Coke being this one symbol that's exported all over the symbol, is exported all over the world. But there are Coca-Cola factories in every country where Coke is produced because it makes more sense. So there's a German Coke manufacturer. There is a Mexican, you know, Coca-Cola manufacturer. They don't make the Coke here and then export it out to the world. And that's the way it is with a lot of these companies. A lot of these companies have no national identity or national loyalty. They recognize the market is one big, you know, it's all one big market. It's pervasive everywhere. Fucking Subways in Iraq and Afghanistan and shit. Subway sandwich places are in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know. So it's like it's these places, they do their own, the businesses, the markets, they see, or they, the direction they can be going in is that the whole idea of national pride or nationalism is a dead idea when you're trying to make money, that globalism is the way to go.
Now, you first feel that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Hang on, real quick. No, I'm taking calls. So if you folks want to call in, there's some questions in the chat room as to whether or not we're taking calls or not.
Well, of course, we always
the
do.
The phone number is 347-989-1371. And I got the chat window opened in a separate window, so I'm bouncing back and forth between the studio and the chat room. So I'm kind of just, you know, trying to watch. So if you call in, I will get you on the air. So I get.
You there, man?
Let me go ahead and get everybody back on the air. Everybody was dropped for some reason. Rodden, are you there, man?
Yeah, what'd you do?
I don't know. I don't know what happened. Everybody, the whole thing was dropped. We've had nothing but technical difficulties this evening. I'm totally blamed for this, I'm sure. You know, scheduling the show an hour earlier than was supposed to be on, and then call issues and everything else, not seeing phone calls. So if you're trying to call in, we haven't seen anybody try to call in yet. Like I said, I was watching the chat room. So, yeah, man. it's crazy that we
This is all your fault, man. Evil Satanist, all your fault.
That's right. Karma, man, finally coming back to get me. Damn, been running from that bitch for a long time, karma, and now it's finally caught up. So globalism, nationalism, you know, and I think we've got, you know, here in this nation, you know, the idea of national pride is a drum that gets beat for political reasons.
Yes.
Which is why so much of the world sees us as, you know, back-asswards, basically. That we're one of the few modern civilized societies that doesn't recognize that we're all in this together, man. We're all pretty much sharing with one another, and there needs to be this exchange. And what's sad is we've sold so much of our culture and so much of ourselves across the seas, basically, that when we actually talk about the exchange of ideas, the exchange of culture, we find ourselves bankrupt. We find ourselves really without anything to offer. So we have a very small place when it comes to cultural exchange in the world. And, you know, when we talk about you know, you look at these third world nations. You know, we like to look down our nose at you know, the Middle East. We like to look down our nose at these, you know, these third world nations in Africa and wherever the hell, you know, the Orient and whatever. But these people have that same mentality. They're just as much about their own nation and their own culture, and just as xenophobic, if you will, as we tend to be in our country. It's just that they recognize also that we think, in many ways, you know, as a society, that we are better than all those other people.
Man, these other people have more of a right to national pride than we do. We're still a very young nation, man, only a few hundred years old. We are not that old of a nation, man. The Middle East has been around for a few thousand years, man. They have all the right in the world to have national pride, to actually feel prideful in what they have or, well, don't have, depending on how you look at it, really, and also their cultural and their history as well. What do we have? Wars. 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 Fuck, you know?
Well, when you're good at one thing, you tend to stick with it. So, but yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, a lot of these other nations have had hundreds, if not thousands, of years to develop to become what it is they've become. You know, and some of these countries, though, I would have to say that, you know, in a way, yes. You know, the Bedouin societies of the Middle East, let's say, been around for centuries. Okay, absolutely. But then when you talk about moving then from that type of nomadic existence, that substance existence, if you will, into a larger technological market. I'm not saying better, okay? I'm just saying it's a different society, the technological society, the Western society, which we are familiar with, the lights and the glitz and everything else. You're in the same boat as we are in many ways. But what you are is behind the ball as far as the learning curve is concerned. You're trying to catch up with everything that's going on, which is why when you got Iran talking about, you know, we want to have some nuclear power, okay? Well, on one hand, I'm like, absolutely. You know, there's nothing wrong with that country having nuclear power. As a matter of fact, there's nothing wrong with Iran having nuclear weapons. They're a sovereign nation. If they develop the technology and develop nuclear weapons, that is their right. You know, or why should we have them? Why should any country have them? Why doesn't the world police come in, you know, Team America or whatever, and take them away from everybody? Bullshit. What's that?
I think the U.S. is afraid that Iran's going to kill the Jews. Iran's going to go on a holocaust of Jerusalem. That's basically what's going to happen, man. If they have nuclear weapons, they're definitely going to bomb some shit.
Right. And I don't think it's an if, it's a when. When are they going to have nuclear weapons? And they are going to use those weapons. Or, you know what, they will – their threats and their demands in regards to, you know, Israel and the Middle East and Western society – will be taken much more seriously when they become a nuclear power. But who are we as a nation, as a society, to deny another nation's sovereign right to armaments? Who are we to take those steps? It's hard for me to imagine. You know, here we are. I understand why a lot of other countries talk shit about us. When we sit there and say, we're the land of the free, where everybody has, you know, equal rights and, you know, all these different values, where, you know, your pursuit of happiness, your self-destiny and everything else, that's part of who we are as a society. And they, you know, we deny that amongst other, you know, other countries. And, you know,
man. You know, I have to break in and say this, man. Basically, what you just said is nothing more than a pipe dream that we sold to China.
Sure. Yeah, well, I recognize that the right the United States actually has, to enforce its will on other smaller nations is that we have the weapons now. We have the big stick to walk around and do things with. The problem we find ourselves in is that those other more mature societies, those other more mature cultures, they look at the way we conduct ourselves and we handle ourselves, and they consider it barbaric. It's no different than what the Roman Empire did. You know, when they wanted a nation to, you know, do something, they went and kicked ass and then made that nation do whatever they wanted it to do. Nobody wants to talk about imperialism anymore. Nobody wants to talk about that kind of thing. I think, you know, if the United States is going to go into Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, or whatever, the culture should be transformed. Because that's what you do in a war. Otherwise, you never get out of it. As we're seeing now, you never, there's never a situation that's stable enough for you to extract yourself fully.
We've been sitting in the Middle East for well over 20 years now. You've been in there since, the late 80s?
Oh, yeah. We've been there. we've been there even longer, really. We've been there as long as Russia's been there. So, you can even say the late 70s. We supplied arms. We trained Osama bin Laden. You know, we did that. We put in Saddam Hussein. You know, we brought him to power. I maybe even Gaddafi. We actually might have helped put him in power. And then, these people have their own ideas about destiny, their own ideas about the way things should be ran, and they took those weapons, they took that training, and they went in a different direction with it after, they got the Russians out. So we've been involved in some bullshit far too long, and for what, really? I mean, we're talking about the situation of the elites. We're talking about really just our interest in oil, our interest in, those resources they have there. Because we figured, if we're going to dig oil out of some fucking place, we want to dig it out of this, cat box in the Middle East, this desert, and we didn't want to mess up our, we didn't want the American people going, oh, you're messing up our pristine forests. You're messing up our beautiful Gulf of Mexico. But it's necessary now. If we had a globalist kind of governance or globalist management, let's say, of these resources, well, then you'd have these people going, we need X amount of oil. For everybody to have, the kind of lifestyle that we think everybody should have, there should be this much oil being produced at any given time, which means we're going to tap we're going to create the Keystone Pipeline. We're going to tap whatever the reserves are in Alaska or whatever. And we're also going to tap the Middle East. And we're also going to go into Russia. We're also going to go, we're going to go all these places, and we're going to get the oil because that's what the people need.
The Keystone Pipeline was shut down, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're still debating on that. They're talking back and forth. Part of it, this is what fuck up your tax dollars at work. Part of it apparently is being built. So it's like, what's the point? If the whole thing isn't there, well, it doesn't make much sense to have just part of it built. But apparently, part of it is actually being built. So I don't know. I don't know what it's about.
Sorry, I was finishing off a quick meal here.
I'm waiting on. I know we had somebody in the chat room say they were trying to call in. Let's see, Zach. Okay, and Zach bounced out. So, yeah, we're having technical issues, Zach. If you're still listening, so that's why. He had an announcement he wanted to make. So I guess since we're about a little over halfway through the show, if you folks want to find out what was on Zach's mind, check out SatanicInternationalNetwork.com. Sin. I'm sure that Zach will be on Tiny Chat, and if you have access to that, because I know it's kind of password protected now, if you have access to that, you can find out what's going on with Zach, or you can message Zach directly, or he might post something on the front page or something. I don't know. So look for that. While that biohazard is getting a little something to eat, we'll just go ahead and run our commercial.
That works too.
Creative Oddity Studios. Creative Oddity Studios, stickers, t-shirts, skateboard decks, lighters, prints, posters, and many other fine pieces of merchandise. It's some of the best damn artwork you'll find on the internet. The creative assault and meandering of Jason Sorrell, T.C. Downey, and Vanessa Lee. Coleman! What is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to visit Creative Oddity Studios. Bondage art. Digital manipulation, erotica, demon girls, fantasy, tattoo art, horror, occult, and we dare to call it artwork.
It's like candy, but for your eyes!
Check out our very popular books on the occult and Satanism, now available in hard copy and downloadable format. Hoo-wah! Check out our blog on art, tattoo work, what life is like as a tattoo artist, social issues, philosophy, lowbrow culture in Austin, Texas, and eminentmind.info. You'll enjoy them. If you can read! Creative Oddities Studios. www.creativeoddities.com.
I like the naked girls.
Creative Oddities Studios!
All right, so that was the Creative Oddities Studios ad. We got about 20 minutes left. Matt, I wanted to ask you a question. We talked about globalism. We talked about nationalism. The third part of this was national pride. And there have been examples in our history where national pride was almost a kind of state religion. Whenever we talk about nationalism, they talk about national pride and everything else. The immediate thought turns to Nazi Germany is where my mind goes. Beyond Nazi Germany, it would be, you know, Imperial Japan, where the nation state was all. Communist China, Russia to some extent, the nation state, the motherland, the fatherland, that's all. That's what I think of when I think of national pride. But there's other aspects. There's other, you know, tones of national pride. And here in the United States, we have tried to engender that idea of this being some sort of a religious kind of thing. That, you know, when you hear the national anthem, they're supposed to be, I mean, part of your programming is supposed to, you know, result in you having a little tear in your eye when you hear the national anthem, or you hear a song about, you know, that country to be proud of being American. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, other than, there's that religious aspect to it. There's that programming aspect to it. It's one thing to be, if you have a nation or if you have a society that you can be proud to be a participant in, that's all great and good. But if you look out in the streets, a lot of people, at what you see going on around you, especially here in the United States, when it's so much about the individual, so much about what it is, you know, you are doing and what it is you're accomplishing, do you really see, first of all, do you really see a sense of national pride here in this country? And do you think it's necessary for a society to have a national pride in order to function?
Personally, man, I don't see how we can even claim national pride. I mean, of course, as I said, we've only been around a couple hundred years. So really, what have we really built for ourselves as a nation to really, you know, I'm going to sound quite hard, cold here, but what do we have to be proud of? You know?
Well, you know, I can answer that question. You know, I can sit there and say that we as a nation have guided and shaped global policy, surely, I mean, within the last 100 years, that once we had our Civil War and got our shit together, we started actually being the driving force behind industry, being the driving force behind economics and cultural development, at least in the West. And then, there's a line in the movie The Last Samurai, where the British guy who's in Japan, he mentions that the emperor is bringing all these people in, you know, architects from France, business bankers from England, and now warriors from the United States. So there is something to be said about, that. You could also sit there and say, look at our roots, that we sent people over here with hardly anything. And we ended up building in a very short time. When you sit there and say we've only been around for a couple hundred years, in a very short time, we became the global power, the economic power of the world. Now, that time is waning. Maybe we peaked too soon. But you could sit there and say that these are things that we could be proud of. However, no one of us, no one person in the society, I really think can sit down and say, yeah, I helped make that happen. It's kind of like rooting for a football team. You know, I'm a Bears fan, so, you know, I can be all about the Bears and everything else, and I can root them on and everything else, and I can be all, you know, proud of when the Bears win. But I didn't have shit to do with that. You know, I'm another little cog in the great machine. It's not like our founding fathers who, you know, actually went into the woods and chopped down the trees and not those founding fathers, but the first people of this nation that, you know, did their thing and forged a life for themselves. And way back when the ideals of this country, you know, freedom, the pursuit of happiness and everything else, the reason you have those things is because that's what people were really about. Now it's the pursuit of the next cheeseburger and the, you know, freedom to, you know, get overweight and smoke your brain cells to death. And that's where we're at. Our competence as a nation has led to indulgence and complacency.
Which is
really good. What's that, dude?
Yes, we are really good at stuffing our faces and drinking ourselves silly. We have been good at this
right.
for quite a while.
Right, and that's where we're at. You know, not to talk shit about the United States. There is, and you'll have to forgive me, coming from, I was in the military,
So I have that drove into me during my developmental years, you know, 18, 19 years old, you know, got into it, and I was hoo-wah and very much, you know, in the military. So there is that engendered in me, this pride in our nation. There is, you know, there is some success. We talk about, you know, the culture here in the United States. That's where we lack, is we're culturally bankrupt. We don't have a culture. We have cultures borrowed from every participating nation, you know, brought over here by every immigrant, every person that's ever come in here. We are a conglomerate of that. And we're not always very well gelled together. There's not a very good blend here. You know, the Italians still are, you know, very much separate from the Irish. The Germans are very much separate from the Polish. It's, you know, there's very distinct cultures, very distinct threads within the United States. And I guess if you want to talk about something to be proud of, what can be, you can say is impressive, is that despite all of our different origins, despite all the different directions, all the different cultural influences, everything else, we haven't torn ourselves apart. We're working on it. But it hasn't happened yet. So,
see, man, that's...
So there is... Go ahead, dude.
See, this whole idea of the nation, especially if we're going to want to talk a little bit about politics with this as well, is that we can't get anything done. Simply put, when it comes to politics, we are extremely naive and childish. Compared to the rest of the world, we simply can't get things done. If it isn't something to do with war, we're pretty much in the dark in many different aspects. Let's even look at our current events, within the last couple of years, maybe. That whole bill that Obama tried passing with health care, that spent how many days being debated over, and how many different things are being debated over that will probably never see the light of day because, simply put, we cannot agree on anything. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It depends on how you look at it. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, as a nation, we simply can't get shit done. We try, we can't do it.
Well, I guess point to a nation that does get shit done. And then, you know, because I can think of some examples of nations that get shit
done.
China. China got shit done.
Most of the Orient.
You know, Soviet Russia. What's that?
Most of the Orient's got a lot of shit done over the years.
Well,
then you said, of course,
I mean,
you said Russia. I'd also go as far as say England. Well, nah, maybe not England. Germany?
No, England has the same model of governance in many ways that we do. We pulled that model from the British model. So there's this. I mean, there's a lack of the priorities are skewed. In the West especially, the priorities are skewed. It's not about – it becomes less about, you know, what's good for society, what's good for the people, what's good for, you know – I mean, it used to be in our government. With our government and everything else, the politicians used to want to get here, get the shit done, be out and done in, you know, a month, 3 months or whatever it is. So they'd go home and deal with their business. They'd go home and deal with their real lives. Now it's more important to be political. It's more important to – be engaged in these, you know, pointless debates and everything, and nothing gets done. What you end up having is that, you know, you get some federal funding for some bluegrass festival in some, you know, pissant county in Oklahoma or whatever. That gets, you know, thousands or millions of dollars to bat it because it squeaks by. Nobody noticed it while they were debating about all this other bullshit. Right. The flip side of it is, though. Okay, would you be willing to have a type of government where, you know, like communist China, where the people are taken care of, absolutely, but there's limits to what the person, an individual person can actually have, what an individual person can actually achieve for themselves. That's the flip side, I guess. There's got to be a middle ground. There's got to be some point where you go, you know what, there's enough freedom here or enough relative freedom in this system while still seeing to the needs of all. I mean, made this point several shows at a time where when one homeless person, for every homeless person in the United States, there's 24 empty houses, we got problems. We got a fucking government that can't do shit. So you're absolutely right.
But see, why couldn't we have a sort of a crossbreed between communism and what we have now? Why couldn't we actually take care of everyone and still let them actually achieve something beyond their station of what they were deemed to be good for? Why can't we have that? Why can't we have it to where everyone has a set amount of stuff or set amount of cash they are given, that they are completely entitled to having the day of birth. Why can't we have that? And that if they actually were to achieve something greater or something that was deemed to be greater, we could just tax them a little bit more. We could basically make up our losses by simply taxing those who maybe do a little bit more, or maybe even give them some kind of a exemption in some kind of way or something of that nature, basically.
Well, it's intellectually, I don't see why we can't. But then the thing that I think of is that I've yet to see an organism. This must be just part of, you know, life itself. I've yet to see an organism that was selfless. I've yet to see an organism that existed, you know, purely for the benefit of everything around it. You can even look at, I mean, even colonies of bees. You have trouble saying that those bees are individual organisms. The bees, I mean, I know they are. Don't get me wrong. But the bees are part of a hive. And it's the hive itself, though, if you treat that hive as one organism, well, then that hive is out for itself. It will defend itself. It will kill other bees. It will destroy, you know, whatever it has to destroy to maintain its own safety and, you know, and viability. So that, I mean, just seems to be engendered that with even with human beings, there's this primitive aspect of ourselves that says, you know, you need to accumulate power. You need to be able to have the strength to hold on to whatever it is you have. And if somebody tries to take it, you need to be able to kick their ass. Furthermore, if they have something you want, you need to be able to take them out and get it. And that's just human nature. So I guess from a satanic philosophy, if you will, from my understanding of Satanism, as it's been expressed in the different books I've read or whatever, really we're playing games with ourselves. We're kidding ourselves if we think that we shouldn't go after that shit. Howard Bloom's The Lucifer Principle, I guess, you know, expresses this idea that this is just part of who we are. And maybe it's something we should embrace, which means that on that note, we should be opposed to globalism. Because if we have a globalist society, if we have one nation where everybody kind of gets along because we have an agreed set of laws and agreed values and everything else, well, then there's no further development from that point because there's no conflict. There's no forced exchange. There's none of that. I've read books where that have talked about that the whole world ends up, you know, seeing kumbaya, getting along all of a sudden, you know, over the course of a few decades or whatever, and everything's right as rain, and then the economy starts to tank. Resources never, you know, aren't distributed properly. Things really go wrong, and the powers that be that are managing everything decide, you know what the problem is that we don't have war, we don't have an enemy. So they start shipping people off to different planets and on different schedules, and then they sit there and say, you know what, we're going to go, there's a group of these, you know, alien creatures, let's go kick some ass. And so they send these people out and everything else. They're fighting themselves to continue that, you know, to get that aggression going so that we continue to develop as a species. And I know that's a little far afield from what we're talking about tonight. But,
you know, you were going on to a tangent there for a couple of minutes, talking about Howard Bloom and Lucifer Principle, things like that. But really, man, why couldn't we be more giving to each other? Why couldn't we, you know, even as a, basically, man, maybe you're missing the whole idea of global society is that basically we'd have to help each other a lot more than we do. We would basically have to be less self-centered, be more worried about our neighbor, be more worried about the person living down the block or even the next state from us. We would pretty much be actually forced to actually give a shit. We'd have to care about everyone. We couldn't be so self-centered. We'd have to be completely selfless.
Right. I say, like I said, I can agree with that idea where you have globalism. As I said towards the beginning of the hour, the issue I have is that we're not one or the other. Okay? It would be, you know, you could see with Howard Bloom's Lucifer Principle, you could see that, you know, where everybody's for themselves and doing for themselves, you could see the species actually surviving and thriving in that way. Okay. You could also see the
species. Does anything get done with that idea, though? Does anything truly get done? Does anything truly get done with that kind of model?
You're here. You're here.
Yeah.
You are here. I am here. This every country that its existence is here, and our history as a human, as a species, has been nothing but one bloody conflict after another. The technologies we have all around us are the result of war. So when you say, has anything gotten done? Absolutely. Take a look around. But I do see your point. I concede the point that why couldn't we take that step now and actually, instead of our gains coming from negative results, instead of our gains coming from warfare and conflict, couldn't our gains come from collaboration? Couldn't our gains come from seeking challenges that don't necessarily mean the deaths of thousands or millions?
Is it because we're still too petty and self-centered? Is that basically the reason, do you think?
Yeah, I think the part of it that is engendered in our species, that every organism has that aspect of itself, the urge to survive. And part of the urge to survive means that you take out whatever threats are around you. TC and I have often talked about how, the one challenge that we think should unite humanity is getting off this planet. Stephen Hawking talks about how, this point, being a species stuck on one rock is going to destroy us. That's going to be the end of the human species. Unless we can get off this rock and go on to other rocks and actually become a star-bearing species, that we're doomed. So, the one challenge that should have united us was getting out into space. And what did we do? We turned it into a race, a competition between superpowers. And, when we finally got to the moon and everybody changed their minds about the competition. Like, oh, well, what's the point? So it's like, and there's always going to be, so you have to take the, as somebody's saying there, Momentum saying that this way we're up for thousands of years or still reptilian brain, it's got to be taking that aggressive urge and redirecting it if you're going to see a global kind of mentality where humanity is one, unites. I mean, I think about all the different scenarios that writers and philosophers have talked about. What's necessary to get that kind of thing going really is an external enemy. Because that's what we respond to. We respond to external threats. I mean, think about all the political machinery that's around us. Everything, almost everything you deal with in politics, when they're trying to get you to motivate in one direction or another, they present an external threat. Your Social Security is going to be taken away from you. Your job's going to be taken away from you. Your kids are going to be taken away from you. Your welfare is taken from you. Somebody external is going to come after you and get you in the night. And that's how we're going to get you to vote for us. So,
yep.
if we're talking about creating a global, mentality, that's the way it could be done. And this, again, going far afield, a lot of people talk about how the whole alien thing, the whole thing with aliens being out there and everything else, is nothing more than Spielberg being used to prep the nation for the presentation. It'll be more believable when they go, oh, look, there's actual aliens. There's a conflict out there. So 941 area code you're on the use is on your brain, man. We got about 5 minutes. Hello?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hang on a second. Okay, 941 area code, you are on the ooze. I'm going to mute your mic real quick again. Okay, you're muted. I'm going to bring you back on. And nothing's being said. I think that Ron, okay, his phone went out. All right. So, yeah, if you want to call back in, we only have about we have 4 minutes left and everything. There's the comments I get in the chat room about the alien thing. I shouldn't even brought it up because there we go. The thing for me is not so much – it's this weird – and it's almost like the conspiracy nut in me wants to sit there and think that, what we got going on, it's almost like we're being held between these two extremes. It's almost like it's intentional that you and I or whoever, we don't have – we could be free. We could go out there and just be, free of all these constraints of society. We could just take it if we wanted to. But our programming, our obligations, our needs and desires, whether artificial or real, we don't have the ability to go out. We don't do it. We don't go out and do it. Where on the other side of it, if you know, if somebody would just come along and just give me every fucking thing I need, I might be more willing to be that cog. I might be more willing to, you know, to take my number and go do my task, as long as I know that, you know, I'm gonna get 8 hours a day to myself where I don't have to do shit but, you know, enjoy my time and what little I have. They don't want to go that direction either. They don't want to present themselves as the master, but they don't want the slaves to be free either.
But
so
see, man,
here
comes a big issue, though, man. You're talking about being the cog in the machine, but, dude, basically, man, our desires, our, whether they're real or whether they're imaginary desires for it, things that we may want or feels if we need, which we definitely do a lot, we feel we need more than we actually do for many different reasons, but that's basically what's keeping us part of the machine, man. Right there is what's keeping us part of the machine. Basically, everything that we desire, we can only get in any real aspect of being a part of society, by actually staying as a member of society. That's what we have to overcome. I don't think we can, really. But who knows?
Right. And it, when you get enough, and this is a process that's not new. I mean, this is something that's been said since, you know, Confucius, that a lot of the things that we think we want for, we don't need. And there's this urge in man. I know this, and the thing is I have trouble saying that indulgence is wrong. Maybe we indulge in the wrong thing. We indulge in the artificial. We indulge in those things that are not real. I'd rather, you know, indulge in decent food and good sex and what have you than whatever little bullshit entertainment's out there and everything. So I don't know, man. I'm still trying to figure it out. And like I said, it's been going on for centuries. So we're not going to solve it on the ooze.
Yeah.
Get something to talk about. So we only got about Are you still there, dude?
Yeah, I'm still here, man.
Okay. I just lost the studio. Hang on a second.
Nice. Oh, fuck.
Okay. It seems we're still on the air. So we only got a minute left. What are we talking about next week? I don't have a list in front of me.
Neither do I.
I'll
make one.
Go ahead, dude.
I'll have to make a list.
No, I've got the show scheduled already. I just here we go. My episode's only looking at. Let's see, upcoming. 60 seconds. It's telling me. Next week, Tuesday, we're going to be talking about free thought as it relates to religious beliefs. Is that a conflict of ideas? Free thought as it relates to religious ideas. So that's what we'll be discussing. So that's it for you, Tuesday Night Edition. Hopefully it's not screwed up next week.
Later,
all right, now we're out. Later.